And now Horn. Stewart wants it. And looks for Amakachi!
It's a grand old team to play for. It's a grand old team to support. And if you know your history, it's enough to make your heart go whoa.
Hello and welcome back to the Grand Old Team podcast. I'm Adam Partington. Everton caretaker manager David Unsworth said things have got to change quickly after Everton's poor run continued with a 4-1 defeat away at Southampton on Sunday afternoon. I was incredibly hungover and it was so tough to watch. Striker Charlie Austin scored two second half headers on his first league start of the season as the Toffees capitulated after half time. Everton have now won only once in seven games under Unsworth. The 44-year-old former Everton defender who urged the board to quickly appoint a permanent manager told the press, "I take responsibility, but we all have to as well. We're in a tough place and things have got to change quickly." It looks like they will change relatively quickly as well. As you know, on Grand Old Team, we love our stats on the podcast. So here's some stats from you, courtesy of the BBC. Everton are now winless in 15 Premier League away games. Their second longest run in the competition, having reached 19 between December 1996 and December 1997. I do recall that era, and it was pretty grim. Since keeping a clean sheet in their first away game of the 2017-18 season, Everton have conceded in each of their 11 away games in all competitions. That game was the first Europa League game that stat is referencing there, for those of you who wondered. Everton have conceded 28 goals in the Premier League so far this season. This is frightening. The most of all of the teams in the league, no team has conceded this many goals at this point in the season and have not been relegated. So you will be fully aware of that last statistic. It is frightening. Obviously, to dissect the match that we all witnessed on Sunday is the ever-present Mr. Dave the Rave, Groucho. Grouch, nice to speak to you, mate.
Mm-hmm. And you?
We've got that to talk about, haven't we? And then we've also got some big news, which we will come on to very shortly. I just wanted to just mull over what we witnessed on Sunday, mate. That collapse after half time was absolutely horrific. Yeah. Have you seen many Everton performances like that?
Not in the second half. No, it was abysmal.
How do you
absolutely
think?
Absolutely abysmal. Especially, you've probably, and people listening have probably seen that photo as well, as a still of one of the goals. I forget which one it was. Mm. Now, and there's like six, seven players all of the diagonal line just basically there watching them walk through. I've never seen anything like that.
Dave, a mate of mine called me this morning, a non-Evertonian football fan, and he was like, "Ad, I watched the match yesterday. I knew that you were bad," and he'd obviously seen the odd Facebook status from me. Obviously, I do the majority of my moaning with you, Dave, and on Twitter. But every now and again, you know, I'll put stuff on Facebook, on my personal Facebook page. And he was like, "I couldn't believe what I was witnessing." And incidentally, we played football together when we were younger, and we were like laughing because we were like, if we'd have done that, I think it was their third, wasn't it, where that picture you referenced.
Was that the third, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so, where they all stood still and were all out of position and the line was just...
It's just that we've let so many goals in lately, I've lost track of which one's which.
Exactly. In one game, it's hard to know which one was, because they were two kind of replicas, weren't they, Austin's anyway? And we were laughing and we were saying, we'd have got a bollocking for that.
Yeah.
Like, we'd have got told off. Our Sunday League manager would have told us off for that, definitely.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely, yeah. I mean, we had awful. Well, absolutely awful. I mean, that goal that we scored, Sigurdsson, I thought when we scored, I thought, all right, that'll do him good, that. And then I didn't realise I hoped we wouldn't capitulate in the manner that we did. I mean, that's pretty much the only good thing I can say about from our point of view.
Was he your man of the match, mate, Sigo, for us? I know it's tough to pick one out.
Pickford, I suppose. I mean, he's... I know he's letting goals in left, right and centre, but I think that's more our defeats this season probably in double figures a couple of times, and it wasn't for him. Sigurdsson, he was better, I thought, but I mean, he was sort of better when he found himself in the central bit of the field. You know, I mean, he scored his goal. That's what happens when he gets the ball central. He's a central player. You know, I don't think any of them were up to it, to be honest with you. It's very difficult to pick a man of the match. You know, it was. And then, of course, Baines went off, didn't he? It was just dire. I'm loath to pick one because it was just awful.
No, of course.
I hope that's as bad as it gets.
I do. I really do as well. I was trying not to put you on the spot, mate, with that question. The only reason, because in Andy C's, obviously Andy C does the post-match reflections, like, you know, the review on the forum.
He does the reports.
And at the top of his thread, I think it was his thread on the forum on www.grandalteam.com. If you haven't, by the way, get over and sign up to the forum. But anyway, on there, there was the man of the match, poll, and I voted for Pickford. I thought that, incidentally, I watched, I'll give them a little shout out. I decided to watch, Baz, who does Toffee TV. I watched his.
Yes.
I just wanted, and I just thought I'll get his. I don't watch them that frequently, as much as I should do for someone who's been on there before, and they are good lads. but Baz's, and I just wanted to see what he slaughtered Pickford. Baz did, and I'm not sure whether I agree with him. I think that he was woefully exposed, and his distribution wasn't as good as it normally is. But I think given the circumstances. Pickford, it could have been a bit worse. I said to my old man when we were watching, I said, like, he's one lad I'm certainly not blaming for today, and that was Pickford.
There's that old saying, isn't it? You know, a goalkeeper's only as good as his defence. In that case, I feel really sorry for Jordan Pickford because the defence in front of him is bleeding awful, isn't it? I mean, I've never seen a defence as bad as that.
No.
For Everton. Coleman can't come back soon enough. I'm not trying to sound overly negative here, but there's very little positive to say about that, isn't there?
Well, Grouch, I think me and you try our best to be positive. I think out of, as I say, every now and again I try and check out what the other Evertonians are doing.
Yeah.
There's a few of us who are putting out some really good stuff. And I do think that we would be considered to be in the more kind of positive bracket. I think we do. We give people the benefit of the doubt. I mean, hey, Grouch, this time last week, me and you were talking at length about Morgan Schneiderlin on the podcast, and we were both saying, he's a little bit out of form, and I think we were probably being kinder to him than a lot of other Evertonians were, and especially the other boys who do stuff similar to us.
So, this is a man who, in the past 12 months, some people were saying, and I wouldn't necessarily have disagreed with them at the time, we should make him captain over the summer.
Oh, God,
and look at him now.
Yeah. But the point I was making there was Grouch, is that if me and you can't find many positives from Sunday, then there aren't any. Just aren't any.
I'd agree with you there.
Yeah, but Sigurdsson did look a lot better through the middle, though. I think it's evident now, and I think the next manager, we it sounds like we know who that's going to be, and we will speak about this at length, but let's just stick on the match for a second. The next manager has to play him through the middle. Gylfie Sigurdsson has to play as a number 10. I don't know why on earth, like, anybody would think anything different. We can't be. We've got to say, right, he's the fella that we spent a lot of money on. We put our eggs in that Icelandic basket, and we need to build a side around him. He is our focal point until we get a decent centre forward in. I know Umar Nias can do a decent job at top, and I'm not. I'm just saying. But you build the side around him. Everything goes through Gylfie Sigurdsson from now on, because with that goal, he showed exactly what he's about.
Oh yeah, I know you want to stick on the match, and we will. But that's one at least positive from Allardyce. He does tend to be quite.
No Allardyce talk. No message.
Back up.
I don't think there are any, but there might be some Evertonians that we've got to break this softly, Dave.
Right. Okay.
I'm only messing, mate.
If listeners want to go and I don't know, grab a puppy, hug that, maybe make an Ovaltine calm down, take some Valium. I don't know. Brace yourselves for that one.
Valium is a great shout. I felt like taking a lot.
Going back to Sigurdsson in the middle, regardless of how much he costs, I think the story of our season's almost being like, why are we so bad? Why are we so bad? Here's a thought. Play players in their correct position. That might work. You know, because, I mean, we've seen left-backs at right-back, that Martina. You know, we've seen all the central midfielders play on the wing. It's I'm waiting for them to start Jordan Pickford up front.
I'd give him a go. I'd give him a go. I mean, I don't want to talk too badly about Dominic Calvert-Lewin because, again, you know, I'm making a special case for a lot of the young lads.
He has, though. On that, I think he's obviously got a long way to go, and he's young and being kind to him. But he's only scored 2 Premier League goals in how many games? Is he getting the service? Don't know. But yeah, it's difficult to judge them when they're so young, isn't it? And he's in any other case, he'd probably have a loan out to a championship side to get some match practice in, and he's basically being shoved in as Lukaku's de facto replacement, hasn't he? For someone so young and so inexperienced, is very harsh.
Yeah, I agree there. He's played far too much football.
He misses a few sitters, like, but, you know.
He does. I don't want to say this, but I've got to because we're doing a podcast and we're talking about him. But I've still got a lot of question marks. I'm not going to write him off because he's a young lad, but I'm not too sure I've got too much faith in his ability with the ball. He's a very, very likeable footballer. He's an Everton lad from the Moyes era, I think. You know, he's the kind of lad who we'd have. He's your same kind of. I think he's got the same ability as someone he's a similar mold to Victor Anachibi or James Vaughan in the sense that obviously they're all different players, but do you see what I mean in terms of that tenacity, that, you know, and the desire to put himself around? And, but I just think he's one of them lads who, you know, he runs around a bit. Maybe you can't say Anachibi did that too much at times, but in terms of maybe Vaughan. But do you see what I'm saying in terms of that lad who maybe doesn't have a copious amount of ability? We'll get you a goal every now and again, but I just think I just wonder whether he's ever going to be good enough for us.
That's the thing.
Unless we do end up playing in the Championship, then it'll be perfect.
Oh yeah. Let's keep that at bay for now. I won't sleep otherwise.
No.
I think. We'll get onto that when we get to the new prospective manager who shall remain nameless while people calm
down. Voldemort. Don't mention him.
Like you say, he's a nice lad. Whether he's going to be good enough will remain to be seen. But let's face it, he's going to be our front line for another month or so anyway, at least, isn't
he? Exactly. Mate, I hope I'm wrong. Yeah. I hope I'm wrong, Grouch. And again, you know, I just want to say... Yeah. I don't want to dig the young lads out too much.
Also, as well, he's not playing with anyone, is he, when he's up front? Well, when he's being played in position and not on the wing or anything, you know. But he's being shoved on his own with no partner as well.
True,
you know, put a decent centre forward, just for example, not that I'm saying we're going to get him. Say Giroud to come in the summer. Well, he's got him to bounce off lane from, play up front with, etc. So that would have helped him as well. But as it is, he's been asked to fill the boots of a 25-goal striker, which isn't going to happen, is it?
No, of course. Definitely, I agree. But there were times on Sunday when Dominic Calvert-Lewin got hold of the ball and we really, really needed him to try and retain possession. And it was some of it was very sloppy. That's what I'm saying. The kind of things that I get that he is a young lad, but he's still a footballer. He's still a professional footballer. And
he's getting paid to do, and he's getting paid handsomely to do a job.
He is. And for me,
you could say this about a lot of the squad, though.
Well, you can do, Dave. Again, of course you can. But what concerned me watching him was a lack of concentration, because he wasn't in the game. When every now and again he was called upon, the ball wouldn't stick to him. It's not like at times he was really doing that whole thing of anticipating, you know, that the ball might come to him, and that was obviously an issue for us as well. But on Southampton, I don't know if you managed to get to listen to it, mate. But you have to speak to me for half an hour every weekend. You don't really listen to me anymore. I'm in that WhatsApp group, which is obviously continuous. So I don't blame you for not listening. But I actually did a preview with with Aid from Fresh Saints. Great fella.
Yes,
he's been on a few times. And what is so concerning about the weekend is that Southampton sounded as bad as us. Maybe they were slightly better in the sense that they sounded like they could at least keep hold of the ball, but in terms of being a threat, they were non-existent. And we've gone to their place and they've put 4 past us. That yeah. is, if you're not concerned, yeah, if you're not sitting there at this point and starting to think about where we could be at the end of the season and fearing the worst, then fair play, you're a lot more positive than me and Grouch, definitely.
I'll give you another stat here as well. Every single one of their outfield players had at least one shot on goal on target.
What?
Yeah, every single one of their outfield players had a goal.
Oh, that's pathetic. Yeah. Really?
Every single one.
Oh, yeah. My God.
I know, it's bad, isn't it?
Well, yeah. That just kind of highlights...
I tell you what, I picked the wrong week to do this with a beer, didn't I?
Yeah, I know, yeah. So have you not got one? Have you not got one?
No, I'm in work tomorrow. No.
Oh, are you, mate? Fair enough. Yeah, you did. You should have done it, mind you. What? Last week, we weren't exactly over the moon with the Palace performance, were we?
But we came away with a point, at least. Exactly. You know, but yeah, it's... and amazingly, we're 16th. And that's about the only thing keeping me going at the moment.
I think that highlights how bad the league is. But I was in a pretty bad way on Sunday. We had our we go to Manchester every year. So and we're having a bit of a laugh about the, as you do, you know, when you're out, and we're having a laugh, and a few lads were saying, oh, you know, imagine if you went down, that'd be funny, wouldn't it, from their perspective? And I was like, yeah, not really. But then on the flip side, you know, a few of them are like, it can't be that bad. Like, how's it doesn't make any sense, Ad, because, you know, you've obviously got some really good individual players at Everton. And I was like, I know, but it's you know, you may have been asked this by Reds or whatever that you work with, Dave, when they go, what's the issue? And you're like, if I knew that, mate, like, there's thousands of issues. Yeah. That's the problem, you know?
There's a fella in work. He's a Red. He watches most of their games, and he said to me the other day, "What's happening with your lot?" I think he was sorry. He asked about 35 minutes later because I hadn't come up for breath, and I was still going. And he'd reduced to the. I didn't realise, but he'd reduced to the point of just nodding, going, "Yeah." I don't think he was taking it anymore. I think he was just genuinely sorry he'd asked me.
Yeah.
He stopped taking the mickey now. I think he's just starting to feel sorry for us.
Did you take up the entirety of his break then, did you?
I'm overspilled into going back to work, yeah.
Oh, good lad. Good. Yeah. Well, you've destroyed a cop. Yeah,
it was therapeutic. So
yeah, of course. If you're going to moan at anybody, moan at cop eyes, I suppose. Yeah. But, no, have you been getting much stick of them or not?
A little, not a great deal. As I say, I think they've gone past, some of them have gone past taking the mick, and some of them are really genuinely feeling sorry for us now. It's just not pleasant on any level, I think, I'd rather them take the mick.
Well, I've had, I don't know too many of them, and the ones that I know aren't, I'm very flippant about them because they've probably been to Anfield once, you know, those kind of fellas, you know, they support Liverpool because Michael Owen, you know, stuff like that, Robbie Fowler, you know, my age group. But there's one lad who's a good lad, and he was like to me, he was doing that really condescending kind of... you know, when that it pat you on the back and they go, you know what, as much as I'm enjoying it, I'd hate if you went down because we'd lose the derby. And you're like, you know, in the like,
well,
that's
a backhanded compliment.
I know,
isn't
I haven't really got, I haven't really got too much against Everton, and that winds me up even more. As you said, I'd rather than just fully take the piss.
Oh, yeah. And also, if people haven't got anything against us, it means that we're not nasty enough to them. I want people to hate us because that means we beat them. But at the minute, it's got to change. Hopefully, not too far away.
Hopefully. Talking of hatred, Kevin Morales, how...
Well, he's about to go on to his fifth manager to fall out with, isn't he?
What out of all of them from the weekend here, I was very annoyed with Morgan Schneiderlin, as you've already mentioned, but Kevin Morales is a disgrace.
Morales and Schneiderlin basically refused to play. Even though they were on the pitch, they were on strike almost to my eyes. They just didn't do anything. They may as well not. They might as well have just gone and sat in the stands. I don't think anybody would have noticed. You know, you can't get paid that much money for that amount of time and do that. What's happened to... I mean, okay, let's take Morales. We know he's temperamental. We know he has his ups. He has his downs. He has done for 5 years. How he's still here after... Do you know when he took that ball off Baines, like I said the other week, how he didn't get sold after that? I don't know. But anyway, okay, that's him. He has his ups. He has his downs. He's temperamental. Okay. Schneiderlin has never come with that reputation as far as I knew. He was great for Southampton. They didn't want him to go. He had a great game for Southampton on Sunday. That's probably the best game he's had for them in years. Went to Man U, didn't get much of a look in. They didn't think much of him. And then he's come here, and then he has a fantastic 6 months. And then if it's true, if it is to be believed that he did get sent home from training, that's disgraceful in the first place for the amount of money they get. I think Schneiderlin, there's been a video doing the rounds today, hasn't it, saying that we need the fans behind us. I thought that was rich coming from him, because it just smacks of mercenary, which I know they are, don't get me wrong. I know there's not much loyalty in football anymore, but come on, you know, you're getting paid how much and people are going to see you perform, and the last thing they did to those fans who did a 470-mile round trip was perform. That was the last thing they did. No need for it. I'd have dropped a pair of them. In fact, well, I don't know what sort of continuity we're going to get if it's to be believed, and there's a new manager coming in very soon. Just before we started this, I think I read a few things on Twitter saying it's done. It might even be announced tomorrow, but, you know, I would have dropped the pair of them. I'd have taken them off, I'd have put someone else on, anybody. They had to have been better than those two, because they put zero effort in. And that, for me, that's unforgivable. That.
So I'm not quite sure what on earth went through Unsworth's mind with this, because he's been at the club now for quite some time. Obviously, he's been with the under-23s or whatever, and I know he hasn't been exposed to the first team historically, but he was there on the sidelines to witness the collapse at Atlanta, and he knows. David Unsworth knows, I think, what he needs in terms of that application. And surely he is aware of someone like Kevin Morales and the fact that he is the last player, even behind Morgan Schneiderlin, I think, that you would expect to, if when things are going bad, he's going to pull his finger out.
He's never going to dig in.
Exactly. And you need, this was a match where you really needed lads to do that. And that's why I was bemused why he played. I couldn't quite work it out, and he validated that obviously after about 10 minutes. You could just tell the type of mood that he was in.
Just going to say, like you're saying, the Southampton lads said to you, they weren't confident at all. They thought we were going to turn them over. They were there for the taking if the players had tried, and they just didn't try.
No, I know, and that's what's... what's criminal. I think I tweeted at half-time, this is a fantastic goal from Sigurdsson, but that half, again, was disgraceful. And at that point, I didn't realise that it was going to get far worse.
But so if you like the first half, you love the second half.
I really do hope that when he retires and he looks back on his Everton career, it's filled with regret, because he's at a football club that I think has given him plenty of opportunities. He's had managers that, he might not have appreciated their style at the time, but, Martinez was a good guy. I know that he's an ideologue, but he wasn't a bad fellow, I don't think, to work for. And he just, the variety in terms of the character of the managers that he's played under, and he's thrown them under the bus time and time again. I mean, he's been with us now for five seasons, and there's not really one notable performance from him. The best thing he's done, okay, he was all right. I think I remember him scoring a decent goal this time 2 years ago against Wolfsburg. Remember him scoring that one against Stoke, and then the next best thing after that is probably taking Luis Suarez out. Well in, mate. You've been at a football club for 5 years, and that's all you've got to show.
I was at that one, actually, but yeah.
Yeah, that derby. What, the derby or the Wolfsburg game? Or the Stoke
I was at the derby.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that one. There you go. But can you think, am I being a bit unfair there, Dave?
And the other memorable thing is him taking the ball off Baines for the penalty. He's not actually remembered for anything great.
No. and every single season, Dave, on top of this, we had him when he first came and he started okay with us and he started giving it the old line about the Champions League, and I think Moyes got a bit annoyed with him. Then obviously Moyes gets off, Martinez comes in, he has a little bit of a fallout with Martinez. I remember Martinez bringing him into the side and we played, I think we might have played Southampton or someone like that towards the end of the season, and he scored and he gave it the old, he was doing like a motion with his hand, you know, little kind of a mouth motion, you know, saying stop talking and that. And then he's on Instagram and he's giving it all the, oh, I wanted to leave at this. And it's just been, it's his whole career's littered with that. I don't know if you can tell, but I have no time for this fella now. I have no, him with his stinking attitude is the last guy we need around at the moment.
Oh, absolutely agree. I mean, I think if Moyes hadn't gone when he'd gone, he wouldn't have lasted this long anyway. He'd have been sold long ago. Mm. How he's managed to last this long is beyond me. And, he does nothing. He's been there for 5 years. Some of the other players must look around. The ones that come after him must think, God, he does nothing and he's got this attitude on him. I'm safe here. I don't have to lift a finger. You know, if he's the example, it's no wonder they're not putting the effort in. First thing I'd do as the new manager, who shall remain nameless for a few minutes, I would just send him home. I'd sell him. I'd say, you're going in January, even if you go for free, mate. I would just get rid. And I'll be honest, Schneidlin, if he doesn't book his ideas up, I'd do the same with him.
Yeah,
impending incomings to replace them, obviously. You know?
So wherever Kevin Morales goes, you know, it might be. There was talk of him going to West Ham, but I thought, like you, I thought his relationship with Moyes was strained after when he was at our place. Maybe it wasn't. Maybe I'm kind of making that up in my head. Maybe he was all right with Moyes. But wherever he goes, if another supporter of that football club says to me, what about Kevin Morales, I'll be brutally honest and tell him and say, if things go badly, don't, this fellow isn't in the trenches with you, getting you out of trouble. Now, on Morgan Schneiderlin, Ado, who I spoke to last week for the preview, Dave, was unbelievably shocked. Couldn't believe that we were referencing his attitude. He was like, this doesn't make any sense to me. Morgan Schneiderlin, we never had any issues with his attitude. He was a terrific footballer and we all wanted him back. You know, so that's a strange one, isn't it, really?
I find it very odd, unless he's maybe easily led and he's fallen in with Morales and he's taken his attitude. Maybe getting rid of one will improve his attitude. Maybe, a change in the team's performance might just improve him as well. It's a difficult one with him because he's not even been here a year yet, has he? So was it January he came?
I think it was
the January window became, wasn't it? Also, don't forget, it was Coleman who had him at Southampton, and he's bought him here. He's come here thinking, oh great, it's going to be here a few years with this fella, and all of a sudden his manager, who seems to have been his mate as well, has got the sack, and now he's thinking, who's this fella who's come from the, or we know who David Unsworth is. Morgan Schneiderlin may not be aware who David Unsworth is in the same manner as we would. And he's going, who's this fellow from the under-23s? Why should I bother playing for him? Which is a complete wrong attitude to take. And I'm only guessing here. I may be way off. But it just seems to be that to me, you know. Or at least that's how I imagine it to be. Anyway, you know, his manager from previously, who he seemed to have faith in and confidence with, has been slung out the door and he's now left where he is here.
You might be onto something. You might be onto something. I mean, you know, who knows? It's a decent theory. You know, he would have had that connection with Ronald Koeman. One senior player though, I won't go after is Wayne Rooney. And Wayne Rooney, I think, would have contributed a lot more to that side. Whether or not he'd have made much of a difference to the scoreline, I'm not too sure. But I don't think we'd have got the type of performance out of Wayne that we got out of some of those more senior players.
No. With him, I would either play him up front as the striker, but has he got the legs for that, or use him as an impact sub. It's a difficult one because, like you say, I don't really want to go Slayton. And when he's on, he seems to... I think, if anything, he hinders us by trying too hard and wanders out of position, so when the ball goes up, he's not there to get it. But I suppose we could do a complete whole half hour on him alone, couldn't we, really?
Yeah, I'm wondering whether or not, because I was listening to Talk Sport after, and it was, someone was on there, or was it Five Live? It might have been Martin Kieran or someone like that, and they were saying, the thing is with Wayne is, they were like, Wayne would have done a better job than, like, anybody. Like, and if you'd have put him at, you know, if you'd have put him at left back, he probably would have done a better job than Baines. If you'd have put him at centre half, he might have arguably done a better job than Ashley Williams. But the point I think he was making, you know, is he was kind of saying that how on earth isn't Wayne involved at all? And you know, that was a good point for me. And I started to think about it, and I thought, actually, because that's right, he said, you know, if you'd played him ahead of Morgan Schneiderlin, he'd have been better, right? And I was like, well, yeah, there's an argument for that, but there's probably one area of the pitch where I'd be a little bit concerned, and that would be if he did play in a centre midfield position because of the lack of legs. I know he drops in, and there is something in that in terms of playing him in that position alongside Garner, where he can, I don't know, mate, I'm thinking out loud, but if you said to him that Wayne to sit and Garner for the legs around him, then I don't know whether there's something in that, maybe, if that's what he wants to do, hence why when he's playing in the forward role, he drops in a lot. I don't know.
Yeah, but coming on to that, a potential new sizeable manager who will remain nameless, when he was the manager of a local international side, did actually play Wayne Rooney in the one game that he was there in central midfield. Can't remember how it went for the life of me, because I don't really watch that much England games, to be honest with you.
Was it the only game that this man, Voldemort,
I think
managed?
You're thinking of the same person.
Right, yeah. I don't know. I think they won 1-0, didn't they? His only game.
He managed one of the whole nations, in one game. But yeah, he played him in central midfield that game.
Right, there you go. I don't know. I just think that obviously he couldn't play with somebody who hasn't got any legs. You couldn't have, like, if Barry was still around, Barry and Wayne Rooney in front of the back four, because you get a leggy centre midfielder.
Yeah. You'd have to watch the match on fast forward after recording it.
But with someone like him, I was going to say Davies, but I don't think Davies has got the discipline maybe to sit with someone like Rooney there. Yeah. I don't know, but that's an idea for the new manager. We've got some tweets, Dave. Tweets. Let's read out one. This is from Tom Davies' Socks, which is a good Twitter name, I think. He says on the new manager, which, look, stop beating around the bush, we've already said his name anyway, potentially Sam Allardyce. He's not my first choice, but we have to get behind him if he is appointed. People calling for a bigger name need to remember that we haven't done anything in 22 years, harsh but true, to deserve a top European manager. Let's just get a bit more insight from Twitter and how people are feeling about the potential news that Sam Allardyce is going to take over as the Everton manager tomorrow, and then me and Grouch will give you our thoughts. Gary Wilton says, let's get behind him and the lads. What's gone is gone. Let's get up the table and start enjoying Everton again. Grouch, I think you'll probably enjoy with that. In fact, you probably agree with that. In fact, you did, because you liked it. Steve D says, only way we can turn it around is if the fans are behind the team too, whoever the manager is. Too many boo boys now. Look at some of the away fans, so passionate. And look at ours lately. We only sing when we're winning, apart from behind in the Watford game, but that was a one-off. Shape says, gravy's all round on me if we win the derby. Absolutely. Mr. Toffee says, Sammy Lee, end of conversation.
Well, just on Sammy Lee there, I think he'd also work with Ronald Koeman, and he said, I'm not going to Everton. Mainly, I don't think it was because I'm not going to Everton from Liverpool. I think it was just that he didn't think it would be the best idea for them to go with having such a strong Liverpool tie. Having him recently said no, I don't think Sammy Lee will come himself.
No. Catch you in the Rye, who's a frequent forum user, Holden the Blue, at Holden Abuses. I think it's disaster. This is a bit of a different perspective.
He's not a happy bunny.
No. I think it's a disastrous decision that shows a complete ineptitude around recruitment and is an insulting... It's an insulting attitude to the fans. They've managed to go backwards post-Koeman. Are people happy seeing Royal and Unsworth losing their jobs in the under-23s? Of course we're not. But there's a bit of a diverse...
That's assuming that's what will happen.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if there's any guarantees that would happen. I know apparently he wants to take a few people with him. That doesn't necessarily mean he clears out the whole club, you know. I would wait and see what happens first before getting me knickers in a twist over that. Because he may end up...
Are you concerned, though, Dave, that he might hold us to ransom now?
Perhaps, but I suppose we're in a position where can we really be that choosy at the moment? were in a bit of a pickle, and I think at the moment we're quite lucky not to be in the bottom three. If we want to keep out of the bottom three, don't get me wrong, he's not me top choice. I'm not exactly ecstatic, but I can see why. And I can see the people who don't want him to point as well. I understand that completely. For me, though, I'm going to try and be a bit positive about it and get behind him. It depends what you mean by taking us for ransom. He probably will ask for a lot, yes. But then any manager would probably have asked for a lot. You know, I mean, Koeman getting £6 million? He probably didn't even ask for that. They probably just threw it at him in the first place.
Yeah.
So it depends. I'd like to see what he's getting before getting me knickers in the twist over it. When it says hold us to ransom, yeah, he might get paid a lot, but he might get, say, a 2 or 3 year contract, knowing full well that if we do all right, they'll sack him and he'll get paid off. I don't think that would be the manager's fault. I think that's just the general state of football. So, I just think we've got to swallow our pride and get on with it and get on with staying off. And at the minute, I'd just take staying in the league at this point.
I agree. I wholeheartedly agree.
Don't get me wrong, I'm not head over heels or anything. And I wouldn't have gone for him, but you know, certainly when we sacked Koeman, I wasn't going, right, yeah, let's get Sam Allardyce in. But now, where we are, he's available. He's got form for doing it. Hopefully he'll get a striker and some better defenders in, coupled with Balassi coming back, and maybe Barkley will stay. Funes Mori's to come back. Don't forget, I don't know how far away he is. Balassi's coming back. It could just be what we need, you know. I'm willing to give him a go. Just carry on. I wasn't going to finish, but I just thought then. I've seen a lot of things saying, I'm going to give my season ticket back. I understand these people aren't happy, but I think that's a bit daft. You know, I mean, okay, you might not like the fella. Have you liked every single player who we've had? You know, you're still going to support the team, though. Why is that different for the manager?
I didn't particularly like Ronald Koeman, really, ever. So
exactly, yeah.
There you go. You are 100% right. Needs must. As I said again on Twitter earlier, beggars can't be choosers. We are the beggars at the moment. We have gone after certain managers, by all accounts, Marco Silva being one of them. They're not going to come, and we have to then revert back to the next best option. At the moment, it looks like that is Sam Allardyce. Is that our number one choice? Absolutely not.
No way.
Have said to us at the start of the season, God, bye, you know, if you enter into December, you could potentially be in the relegation zone, and you know, you'll have sacked Koeman, you'll have gone 6 weeks of that a manager, you potentially destroyed David Unsworth's career, the poor fella, and you're going to get you know, Sam Allardyce as manager. None of us would have wanted that. It's horrific, but this is where we're at.
I don't think any one of us would believe it if you told us that in July.
There is that as well. I just want to make one observation, because it's something that I've not seen anybody else really do, and it's something that I've done on the forum this afternoon, and what I've tried to do is think about this from Allardyce's perspective. Now, hear me out on this, Grouch. Allardyce has never really had a massive job. You could make the argument that Newcastle was a relatively big job. Okay, you know, I'll accept that, depending on your interpretation of big jobs, right? Then he gets, you know, he's knocked around a little bit. West Ham, okay, fair enough. You know, does a decent job at Sunderland. Palace, but they're the kind of club now that he was associated with. Obviously, when he got the England job, everyone kind of laughed, and that probably is the biggest. That is the biggest job that he's had. Obviously, you know, so that is a big job. Although me and you aren't massive England international football fans, it's a pretty big job to get. He ruins that. He can't have. I mean, if he'd have just taken England to the World Cup and got knocked out of the group, he goes away like Roy. But he was disgraced after one game, right? Yeah. Messing around, whatever he was doing. I don't remember the details. I can't be arsed with the details. But he gets bin like that. All of a sudden, Sam Allardyce now has an opportunity to, one, prove everybody wrong, because he knows about his reputation. He's the kind of guy that clubs like Crystal Palace go to. And I don't care what anybody says, he's still a football manager and he still wants to be the good at what he does. Right? Okay. So he's going to have a decent financial incentive, and he's also got an opportunity with arguably, what's it, the seventh biggest job now in England, right, that he could get. Well, he isn't going to get any of the top six, so the next best option is us by a long shot. It's still a huge job, the Everton job. And he's got this opportunity.
We're going to be the biggest club job he's ever had.
Of course we are. So, and he's got this at a time when, you know, people would probably just be thinking that, you know, we were saying, oh, maybe he'll go back to Sunderland and stuff. He has dropped on massively, and I don't know whether this will work in our favour dramatically, because this is the last chance saloon for him, and I think he'll look at it and go, if I can turn Everton around and take them up the table, get a few wins at, remember, if he wins at Anfield, his stock will rise dramatically among Evertonians. So he hasn't really got to do that much. He's already got a decent kind of basis of the squad. It's a little bit unbalanced, right? But, you know, he's going to get some money to spend in January. This is a terrific opportunity for him.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Massive opportunity for him.
Definitely. I mean, I wouldn't say it was a face-saving exercise, but it is a chance to rebuild his reputation, maybe. And also maybe change the way people
perceive
him slightly. You know, if he's, you know, doing, going to Crystal Palace from West Ham and Sunderland and keeping them up, which he has done, and then going to us via a disaster of an England appointment, and then, well, I say disaster, he won the game, you know, and then comes to us. He will, like you say, he's got a little bit of a point to prove, and he may actually just be seen as, oh, maybe he's a decent manager if he gets us up the table. I mean, didn't he get West Ham in Europe?
Yeah, I think so. I can't quite remember.
Was he the manager, or was it Slaven Bilic took over then?
I can't remember.
I might be wrong. I have a feeling he got them to the stage that we were at this year. They got to the qualifiers, but they didn't actually qualify. But in the summer, I think they changed it for Slaven Bilic. I think.
Yeah, that could be.
I might be wrong on that, but I think. So, I mean, getting someone into the Europa League isn't really consolidating and avoiding relegation, is it? That's, you know, you're at the right end of the table if you're doing that.
Exactly.
So let's hope he can do the same.
Yeah, and if you gave us that now, we would snap your hand off. I mean, it's highly unlikely for this season. But if you said, Sam Allardyce will take over, he'll keep us in the league this year. You know, we'll finish in a healthier position than we are now. Fantastic. Mm-hmm. And then if he gets us Europe next season, we'd all take that. So but the most important point that you made, mate, is the fact that I think we really do need to get behind the fella now, and it's not going to happen overnight. If he takes charge tomorrow morning, I mean, results aren't going to change overnight. Well, it's probably going to take him a few weeks. It seems to take him a few weeks anyway, doesn't it, Grouch?
He walks in to say he gets his new keys to his new office tomorrow afternoon. I mean, come on, how much time is he going to have to work with them before Wednesday, you know?
Yeah.
you can have a quick result, but I mean, that may just prove to be too quick. Who have we got after that? Is it Huddersfield?
Huddersfield at home, yeah. And then
we've got
Reds.
A couple of home games coming up. You know, we've got two home games coming up that might be winnable. I actually think West Ham might. Moyes has got them sort of fighting, hasn't it? Moyes has got West Ham doing what Allardyce needs to get us doing, really. Just maybe not necessarily being the most skillful players, but just fight, have a bit of pride, have a go, get stuck in. So, you know, we'll see what happens with that one. You never know. We might just do it. Home crowd there, home advantage in that. And it's always nice to get one over on one of your previous managers, isn't it? But then they'll have that with Allardyce. I wonder, would they give David Unsworth a last chance while Sam Allardyce sits in the stands, you know, just for the last game, because he's got no time, and then he would take over before the Huddersfield game. But I don't know. I'm just conjecturing.
Maybe you're right. I'd have liked him to have a bit more time working on the structure of the side. I would have liked for the derby to come at the time it did last season, which was like a midway into December, I think, by the time that
it was the last game before Christmas.
There you go, then. Mm. So I would have liked that a little bit more time, because I'm frightened to death of us going to Anfield in this current state. I'm going to pose a question to you. Would you prefer us to go to Anfield in the current state that we are now under Unsworth, which evidently isn't working, or would you prefer to get Sam Allardyce in tomorrow and at least give him a week and a half?
I would get him in tomorrow, because if we had, say we had the derby on Wednesday, no chance it'd be worse than the Glenn Keighley derby.
Yeah.
In 1984,
you'd and it'd
just
be
see
worse
them
than
flying
the
in.
Yeah, yeah.
You'd wish for the Martinez days back. And that's saying something, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. You know? Exactly. So, yeah, look, we've just got to kind of embrace it. This is the situation we're in, lads and ladies. Yeah, and look, it's not ideal. None of us want it to be in this position, but we are, and we've got to give him a chance. We've got to get behind him, and even if you're not happy with it, there aren't many of us that are happy with it, but you have got to look at it and go, with the position we're in, he's the best guy who's going to give us the most opportunity to get out of this situation. So let's just get behind him. You never know, he might prove a few of us wrong.
Well, I don't think as well people having to go at Allardyce at this point. I'm not really sure what he's supposed to have done wrong. He didn't get us in this situation. If anything, he's going to come and try and get us out of this. You know,
be nice to the fella.
Yeah, don't bite the hand that feeds you. He might just do the job, you know. No, I'm not ecstatic, but I'm willing to give the fella a go, you know. just cool it, calm down, and he might just get the results. Especially if we get behind him. I think that'll be important, the crowd getting behind him. The last thing that we need at the minute is a negative crowd. I'm not trying to be one of those super blues. I'm really not. But I just think I'll find myself in the crank World Cup at this rate, won't I? I just think we need to get behind him, the team, and then hopefully, fingers crossed, things will get turned around. Yeah. And then with the additions and everything. I just don't see the point of being negative at the minute. Where will it get us? It'll just get us. We're not in the bottom three. That might just see us go that way. It's obviously not a side high on confidence. Our own fans on the back are only going to make that worse. Let's be realistic. You're going to play better if the crowd's behind you. Get the crowd behind you.
Yeah. Yeah, and I agree, mate. Top stuff. Obviously, we've done 45 minutes now, so we'll leave this here. Allardyce hasn't actually been confirmed yet, so at the time of recording, he isn't the Everton manager. It is all speculation, but it does seem like it's going to happen. So, let's just try and embrace it and see where it takes us, and hopefully it'll work.
I've already had my T-shirt printed. I love sizeable Sam. we'll get along with that.
Got a little blue heart on it as well, have you?
Yeah, that's nice.
I like it, mate. All right. Okay, then, Grouch, thanks for coming on to the Grand Old Team podcast.
No problem.
As always, always great to chat to you, mate. Really enjoy doing these. And for those of you who are listening, remember you can get us on Twitter, on Facebook, and on YouTube as well. I'm going to be doing an interview with Andrej Konchalskis before the game on Wednesday.
I will be looking forward to that one.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that, and that'll be up probably at the weekend, so keep an eye out on the YouTube channel for that, and also get over to the forum and sign up if you haven't. As always, thanks again for listening to the Grand Old Team podcast. See you soon. It's enough to make your heart go. Whoa.